We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
We are so honored that you're listening to Exploring the Word today. This is Alex McFarland, and with me is longtime friend and colleague and frequent guest host, Jeff Chambly. Bert is traveling today, but Jeff and I are live on the American Family Radio Network. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We've been in Ephesians for several weeks, and it just is a wonderful portion of God's Word. But we're going to get into this, the last chapter, Ephesians 6. But Jeff, welcome. We thank you for the faithful way that you sub for us many times on Exploring the Word. But before we get into Ephesians, tell us about your vital work with the American Family Association.
Well, thanks, Alex. It's good to be with you today. And obviously, big shoes to fill in Brother Bert, but grateful to be here. My role here is host and producer of the Stand Radio program. That's heard every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central. I have the privilege of interviewing some amazing people, many of whom are featured in each issue of the Stand magazine, which is published monthly here at AFA. So I produce a 30-minute radio program and love doing it. Some fascinating people and topics, and hope that people listen to it and can benefit from it.
Amen. Well, I know they will. And afr.net/podcasts, you'll find the Stand Radio, and of course the journal, the monthly magazine, is called The Stand. But Jeff, you and I have worked on a number of projects over the years, so, and I give God the glory. You created the documentary curriculum for my book on the 21 toughest questions, and listen, I give God the glory for this, and your team, but it won curriculum of the year. Several years ago, and it's available at the AFA Resource Center. But, brother, we appreciate you so much. And yesterday, folks, as we were concluding Ephesians chapter 6, I love verse 30, that we are members all of Christ's body, of his flesh and bones. There was a lot in Ephesians 5 about husbands loving their wives and the importance of a good marriage. Mm-hmm. Because, as verse 32 of chapter 5 says, that marriage and family is a picture of Christ and the church. Then verse 1 of chapter 6 begins, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." This is really a reference to Exodus 20, verse 12. But, Jeff, every member of the family is addressed, wives, husbands, even children, because we're all under the Lord Jesus Christ, and ultimately we submit to him.
Absolutely. And again, you know, this follows the whole theme of Paul, that Christ is gathering together all things in Christ, which are in heaven on earth, which he mentioned in chapter 1. So that includes relationships. And so we've covered husbands and wives, and now we're getting into the second major division, which is between children and parents. And that's to say that all of our relationships, and we'll go on to bondservants and masters here shortly, but all of our relationships are now defined in its context in Christ, in the Christian home. And that brings a lot of powerful truth to it.
Well, amen, amen. It goes on, and there's a somewhat controversial verse. Verse 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants doing the will of God." Now, let me say unequivocally what this does not mean. In no way this is a sanctioning of slavery. Not at all. there really in that period, and Jeff, I've studied this rather extensively, there was a lot of indentured servitude where somebody might, for passage on a boat or room and board, they might agree to work a certain time. Have sinful people over the centuries abused the relationship between employer and employee? Of course. And where there's been slavery, I absolutely categorically condemn that. This is not a sanctioning of racism or human trafficking or enslavement at all. But I will say this. In verse 5, it says singleness of heart. When we're working a job, there's what's called a social contract. Let's say you work 40 hours, you get X amount of pay. Or you get room and board, but you promise to, you know, cut the grass or whatever. Whenever we have, we're exchanging a good or a service for some level of remuneration, whether it be a paycheck or some other consideration, we're supposed to be honest, give a good day's work, not in a divided heart. To our boss's face, we said, yes, sir, but in our heart, we're cursing him. We're not supposed to be like that. And let me just say this, and Jeff, I'll throw it to you. Are there times in human life when we're going to get taken advantage of? Or, yeah, no doubt, sinners sin. And sometimes we're the perpetuator of sin. Sometimes we're the, you know, recipient of sin. But we're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus and respectfully and in a godly way maybe work for what is right. But we know how to serve and obey as if we're obeying the Lord.
Yes.
Doesn't sanction slavery or anything like that. But very often in life, we have to be mindful that Christ is ultimately in control. We're under authority, aren't we, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, and even going back to the children, the order within the home, the order within the marriage, all of that points to the beauty of God's gathering all things together in Him. And here when we're talking about bondservants, I think it's interesting, Alex, that in verses 5, 6, and 7, the phrase as to Christ or in Christ or as unto Christ appears. So again, he's speaking to, in this institution at the time that Paul is writing, I mean, the bondservants had no legal rights. And so you're dealing with the worst of the worst situations. You know, there was no EEOC or there were no unions in those days for bondservants. And so he's dealing to people who are absolutely helpless at the hands of a cruel master. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:18, be obedient to even the masters who are harsh. And so the point here is, if this is true in this kind of situation, how much more when we do have legal protections and legal rights are we to regard those that we serve as unto Christ? Let me give you an illustration. Alex, back at in the days when I was in seminary at Southwestern Seminary, I had a part-time job as a janitor in a small business that was actually started by another seminary student. And I'll never forget, he said, when you dust the tops of the doors and you're doing the bathrooms, I want you to remember that you're doing this as unto Christ. And at the time, I thought, well, this is just, that's over the top. But I remember it today, and I still think, wow, everything that I do, my service here at AFA, my service at home, wherever I go, is unto Christ. And so the quality goes up, the attitude, the love for the work goes up. Everything's improved when I have the right mindset.
Amen. Amen. You know, Jeff, there's a famous story in the Middle Ages when they were building all the big European cathedrals, and they had made some trusses, and there was a worker way up high sanding and sanding away, and the foreman said, what are you doing up there so long? He said, well, I'm sanding a knot. I want this level. And the foreman said, well, nobody's going to see that way up there on the other side of that truss. Nobody will ever see that. And the worker said, well, God will see it. And, you know, I think everybody has to apply it for themselves. But let's remember that whatever we do, we're doing it as unto the Lord. Verse 7, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And it goes on there, and it talks about that masters, and it doesn't mean in the sense of slave masters in a human trafficking context, but it's real employers, verse 9. It's really the word employers, that they are supposed to treat their employees in a godly, gentle way, not threatening them. You don't lead by intimidation and fear. And Jeff, I want to say this, and I think you would concur. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. Mm. And I have found, I've been an employee, I am an employee, and I have been an employer. And one of the greatest leadership models that you could ever strive to implement, and I think if you read great leaders like Coach John Wooden, who was at UCLA, and other great leaders that have accomplished things, they lead by example, they lead with the heart of a servant, and they lead with grace and redemption, not with an iron fist and intimidation.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. And those are the kind of people you want to serve. I mean, when you look at a leader, whether it's a department leader or a manager or anybody in authority over you, and you know that they genuinely care for you, you want to serve them even more. And so that's the beauty that the gospel brings into all of life, that in this institution where many times employers, or in this case masters over slaves, would lord it over them and be harsh, the gospel brings an entirely different mindset. In fact, the Bible reminds masters in other places, you have a master in heaven. And so, you know, it puts everybody in perspective that Jesus is ultimately the one that we're all serving. Even if you're an employer, you have a responsibility before the Lord to treat your employees with respect and goodness.
Well, verses 10 through 17 are just one of the, it's a very well-known passage. It's a wonderful passage. The word finally, in other words, so here's a tall order, living a godly life, serving Jesus in the home, in the workplace. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, or the cunning schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it goes on 13 through 17, talking about the armor of God. Jeff, as I read Ephesians 6:12, it's in the invisible realm, but this is what's broken and what's wrong with the world. Evil, principalities, demonic powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, literally in places of authority. There are people that are doing the devil's bidding and they don't even know it. You know?
Yeah, they're under the power of the devil. And like you said here, there is an ultimate adversary that we have, and it's not our husband or wife, it's not our children, it's not our employers. The spiritual force that's behind that is the prince of darkness, which has sway over this current world. And Paul wants to remind us as we close out this chapter and as we close out this book that Satan is not going to rest while Christ is gathering together all things in him. He is going to be an adversary. He's going to tempt us, to try us, to persecute us. But our response to him is to stand, as we'll read in these verses.
Exactly. And very famously, let me encourage you to read this, folks, and just read it very prayerfully. 14 through 17, the armor of God. And it's just, it's very pictorial, of like a soldier who's safely equipped for battle. Well, this is Exploring the Word. Jeff Shambly, Alex McFarland. So glad you're listening. We're going to continue in Ephesians 6, plus take your calls and Bible questions. We have a brief break. If you can get the Bible, turn to Ephesians 6. We'll continue after this.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Exploring the Word with Alex McFarland and yours truly, Jeff Shambly. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us here on American Family Radio. If you are just joining us, we are in Ephesians chapter 6. We invite you to join us beginning in verse around 14 or so. Alex?
Yes, talking about the armor of God, and it says, stand therefore. In other words, there's consistency. This means continual uninterrupted action, but having your loins girt about with truth. Now, I got my King James with me, but truth, in a battle, protection was imperative. There are parts of us, we need our head protected. We need our chest. We need our abdomen protected. Because, you know, whether it's spears or swords or in modern warfare, bullets, I mean, you know, one wound could be terminal, a mortal wound. So it's like truth, God's word, protects you in the most key areas. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, isn't that something that the righteousness of Christ covers our chest, our heart and lungs, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, when you think of your feet, you think of mobility. What drives us? What are we living for? The Great Commission, the gospel of peace. You know, our feet move about in the directions they do because we are on mission for God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Faith, now, what faith? Faith in Jesus, faith that he is with us, faith that we have a mission and a call from God. And verse 16, Jeff, the fiery darts of the wicked one. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're immune from the slings and arrows of Satan. He's going to have his, well, the church and Christians are in his crosshairs, aren't they?
They are, absolutely. And you think about those fiery darts that Satan casts toward us. I think about the fiery dart of unbelief or doubt that God is good. I mean, you know, Satan will whisper these subtle things into your ears that, you know, if God loved you, he wouldn't withhold this from you, and those kinds of things. And we go back to, what do we use? We use the shield of faith to extinguish that fiery dart. The faith is believing that God loves us and has given his only son for us and has demonstrated that. So we apply faith in that shield. We extinguish those fiery darts. And here Paul is making us aware that this is going on in the unseen world, and you and I don't even know it's going on. And so we need to be reminded.
Do you know, I was looking at this in the Greek lexicon, Jeff, and in English it says the fiery darts of the wicked. And I'm looking, the word dart is really the word for arrows. We know what an arrow is. And the word of fiery, it's pep pyromania. Now, we know a pyromaniac is somebody that's obsessed with starting fires. But here's the thing, fiery dart, it means an arrow that could set aflame. Now, let me elaborate. Maybe you've seen in movies or something, maybe in the olden times, somebody would take a flaming arrow and shoot it into a haystack, and that would cause a big fire. What do we use to deflect the fiery darts of Satan? Like you said, our faith. And Satan fires this dart that, if it's not extinguished, could set a fire, the fire of doubt. What if God's not hearing my prayers anymore?
Yeah.
What if
exactly.
What if Jesus has left me? What if everything's going to fall apart? Listen, do not let Satan's lies land anywhere within you and start a fire. And that shield of faith, and the word pistuo, it means trust.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, I'll grant you, I think we all. Maybe there's some listeners even now, and you want to share the journey of faith you're on. By the way, in just a moment, we will take calls in a little while. That number, if you want to call in and join in, it's 888-589-8840. For the born-again believer, Jeff, you're saved, you're secure, you know you belong to Jesus, and even yet,
yes.
Life is a journey of faith, isn't it?
But from the time you put your foot on the floor in the morning until the time you lay down at night, and those fiery darts come at you. And I'm reminded, Alex, of the word that says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as we use that shield of faith, what are we doing? We're recalling the truth that God has written for us in his word. And that is how vital it is that we hold on to the word, that we memorize the word, that we trust in what God has said in spite of what we see. And I think mm-hmm. that defines, at least for me, the Christian walk.
Amen. Amen. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
You know, 15 plus years ago, when Tim Wildman, the president of the American Family Association, he approached myself and at that time, a dear brother who's in heaven now, Marvin Sanders,
yeah.
But he said, I just want the Bible, the Word of God, mm-hmm. for an hour in afternoon drive time. Verse 17, and I thank God for Tim's vision, the sword of the Spirit. Now, in battle, the sword was the primary weapon, not only for victory, but for self-defense. And here, Paul is comparing the Word of God, the Scripture. That's why, folks, we urge you every day to spend some time in the Bible. Pray. We've often said this, and it's really true. Three chapters a day, five on Sunday, and you'll read the entire Bible in a year. Take about 15 minutes. And maybe that seems a little daunting, but you know, read the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters. And if you read a chapter a day of God's book of wisdom, you'll read Proverbs in a month, 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. Just read maybe a chapter, half a chapter, and in under a month, you'll read the Gospel of John. The Word of God will strengthen you. The Word of God will uplift you. The Word of God will draw you closer to Jesus. The Word of God will give you confidence and assurance, and you won't be vulnerable to the lies and just the attacks of the devil. And verse 17 compares it to a helmet. And in a battle, you know, protecting the head, you know, maybe you'd injure an arm or a limb, and that's bad. But a blow to the head can be fatal. And that's why I think that salvation and the Scripture is compared to the protective covering of a metal helmet to a soldier, Jeff, to know the Son of God, to be in the Word of God. You're going to be all right,
yeah.
if you've got those things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I remember, you know, in the Scriptures in the beginning of, I think it's the Gospel of Mark, where he goes right into Jesus' encounter with Satan. And what does Jesus do in the wilderness when he is weak and hungry and Satan tempts him? He appeals to the Word of God. And that is an illustration for us how important what you've just said, that we go to the Word of God and we depend upon it every day. I'll tell you what, Alex, in addition to reading the Word of God, what I found beneficial is getting a good audio Bible. Because you hear someone read the book of Ephesians to you, you get a view and a perspective that you don't get when you're in the text, in the words. You sort of fly over at a 30,000-foot view, and you get the continuity of the flow of thought, and the truth just sort of flows out. So I would encourage people, if you can, if you have a phone that'll do that, load up a good audio Bible and just let it play. Play the, mm-hmm. you know, the Psalms at night or whatever, and it will really minister to you if you'll do that.
Amen. You know, Bert and I talk about Bible Hub, mm-hmm. which is a free app, and you can look at a lot of translations, the NIV, the New Living Translation, New American Standard. There's so many good apps. I've also got this little app. It's free, called Word Alert. And every morning when I wake up, there's a Bible verse. It's great. But you want to do what you can do, read, and have the scripture there before you. But verses 18 through 24, and what a great conclusion to this magnificent book. Jeff, I've said a couple of times over the last, you know, 5-6 weeks how, man, I'm wanting to preach through Ephesians now. It's just so rich.
Yeah.
But it wraps up, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, and Paul's got a closing salutation that we'll get to in a minute. But here's how you do it. The lofty call of being a disciple, praying and being filled with and led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, our praying supplication means bringing our needs to God. But I do think prayer needs to begin with praise and gratitude, but watching thereunto with all perseverance. That means it's like 1 John 2:28, abide in Him.
Yes.
Keep on keeping, persevere. And we are to pray for the church, supplication for all saints. Isn't it something, just a little reminder here, that amongst all the things that we are bringing to the Lord, we are to pray for the church. Mm. And Jeff, when you've got the Word, you know you're saved, you know God's priorities, the Bible is your roadmap for life, the Spirit of God guides you, controls you, and yes, we are to be controlled by God's Holy Spirit, and then we're prayerful. You know, this journey, it'll work out, won't it?
It will, and I think this is a great admonition that Paul gives us, praying for the saints. You know, Alex, I'm reminded how important it is to pray for your pastor. Every time I'm hear someone that would make a comment that, well, yeah, I'm not getting fed or whatever about their pastor and the preaching, and I would say, have you prayed for him? Because he really needs your prayers. And so we have an opportunity and an obligation, frankly, to pray for our church leaders, our pastors, our associate pastors, those that lead us in worship, that they would be led by the Spirit, that they would fall in love with the Lord all over again. So it's a great word to us here in Ephesians to pray for the saints.
Paul goes on and he says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That word is there in verse 32 and here in verse 19 of chapter 6. Paul says, hey, isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Paul doesn't say, you know, pray for me that I'll be safe and healthy. No, he's praying for an anointing to fruitfully live out and proclaim the gospel. And he says, verse 20, that he is an ambassador of the gospel in bonds, in prison, therein that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do. I've heard it both ways. Tychicus, mm-hmm. Tychicus, Tychicus. I don't know. That's maybe we'll know how to truly pronounce that when we get to heaven. A beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord shall make known to you all things. Now, so what he's saying here in verses 21 and 22, he goes, look, Christians at Ephesus, I can't come to you, but I'm sending Tychicus, and he's going to tell you all things about how I'm doing and all that. I'm sending for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Jeff, before we get to the last two verses, isn't it something? Paul's been falsely arrested many times. He's been beaten. He's been incarcerated. And his identity, he's not saying, oh, I'm a victim. Oh, I'm unfairly locked up. No, here's my identity. I'm an ambassador of the gospel. Pray that I'll say what I ought to say, speak boldly. you know, let me lead these fellow prisoners and wardens to Christ. But the whole story, watch for my faithful colleague, Tychicus. He's coming, and hopefully he'll comfort your hearts. Verse 22, isn't it something? Paul could be singing the blues, I suppose, but he's not. He's saying, I'm doing great. I'm on point for the gospel. And when my understudy comes to visit you, he'll comfort your hearts as well. Yeah. Isn't that encouraging?
It is. And in Paul's heart and mind is for the readers of this letter, whom he loves so much. I mean, the church in Ephesus, he spends 3 years there teaching these brothers and sisters. And in his, even as he's in chains, his concern is for their thoughts of him, that they wouldn't worry, that Tychicus would comfort their hearts. And so Paul oftentimes would say things that would get him in prison, and he had no problem with that, you know. And when he was in prison, as he's praying that he would speak boldly. We see him with Silas, and he's singing hymns. I mean, Paul is the model believer, living by faith, even when it seems that everything is falling down around him.
Well, the closing verses 23 and 24 of Ephesians chapter 6, peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Mm. You know, this is really a great benediction even for us today, and this should be the peace. I mean, this should be the prayer for the church, for our own local church. And let me just say to everybody, I hope you're a part of a church, no matter where you live, and it, you know, take some prayer and diligence maybe to find the right one, but do plug into a church. But he says, peace, love, faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus. And here is certainly what we pray for the world, the persecuted Christians in the far reaches of the world, grace to all those that love our Lord Jesus. That's Christians of every generation, isn't it, Jeff?
It is, in every place. And what a blessing this letter is to the believers. And I certainly hope that if you, listener, have not read the book of Ephesians, that you will read it, that you will turn in faith and repentance to the Lord Jesus, receive the new birth that he talks about, and know what it means to be reconciled fully to the God who made you.
Well, we've got a brief break, folks. Jeff Shambly, Alex McFarland, when we come back, we'll take your phone calls and questions. 888-589-8840. Go ahead and call, and we'll talk to you after the break.
When it comes to parenting, there can be a delicate balance between relationship and authority. That's especially true when parents don't understand that parenting has seasons. In the AFA Cultural Institute video, The Seasons of Parenting, expert John Rosemond walks us through those seasons to show how to properly lead our children in the way that honors God and benefits society. Become the parent God wants you to be. Get The Seasons of Parenting with John Rosemond when you visit resources.afa.net.
When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper.
And I'm Bert.
If you're a pastor's wife, you know both the blessings and the unique challenges that come with the life you and your husband live daily. We call it living in the fishbowl.
The 2024 Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 22nd through 24th. This year's retreat will be at Pickwick Landing State Park in Counts, Tennessee. As always, the Fishbowl Retreat is hosted by Pastor Bert Harper of American Family Radio and his wife Jan. Our special speaker will be Dr. Ray Pritchard, co-host of Today's Issues on AFR, and his wife, Marlene. Registration is open now and space is limited. Your registration fee of $400 per couple covers lodging, meals, and materials. Come get some much-needed encouragement at the Fishbowl Retreat. Learn more and register at repairingthefoundations.net. That's repairingthefoundations.net.
And we hope to see you at the AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat.
Just as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. A friend of mine who pastors a church in Nigeria once said to me, "You know, America has sent more missionaries into the world than any other nation before it. But the nation that once sent missionaries has now become the mission field." As you consider the calling God has for you, I just want to remind you that just as other nations need missionaries, we need missionaries in America, too. There are a lot of neighborhoods right here in our country that desperately need evangelism and discipleship. Let's not forget about them.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3.
American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Hey, we're going to get to phone calls and questions. I wanted to remind everybody, this Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to be at Gateway Baptist Church in Newton, North Carolina. And that's just very, very near Charlotte, big city of Charlotte. Their website, gbcnewton.org, gbcnewton. Saturday morning, like 9 to 12, I'm doing this men's breakfast and kind of biblical worldview. Saturday night, I'm doing a big event for youth from about 6 to 8:30, and we're going to talk about the gospel and defending the Christian faith. Then I'll be preaching on Sunday. So if you happen to be in the area, this is kind of western North Carolina, like I say, very near Charlotte, super easy to get to, gbcnewton.org. I'd love to see you Saturday and Sunday there in North Carolina. Well, Jeff Shambly, I think we're going to go to some telephone calls. I'm going to let you tell us who's on the phone and where we go first.
All right. First up, we'll go to the state of Alabama. Hi, Justin, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Who's on the phone, and where we go first? We'll go to the state of Alabama.
Let's go ahead.
Turn your radio down, if you don't mind, brother.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm just calling to say you guys are doing a great job, obviously. But, I've been reading the Word every day lately. And, I mean, if I don't, I just feel like there's something lacking. Like, I get convicted about it, you know. And I've been reading Jeremiah. And you guys are right. It's not like it's a huge, big task. It's going to take so much time out of your day. I mean, you're talking about that 30 minutes that you're blowing on an app, you know, you're getting that nourishment and that spiritual food that's just necessary to get through the day. And if we don't put on that armor of God, like it says in Ephesians, you know, we're defenseless, you know, and those fiery darts, they're coming. We've got to be prepared. And I met you before, Alex, with my daughter Ruby, and I happen to have my other daughter Everly with me this time, and they just wanted to say hey.
Wonderful. Well, hello there, everybody. Say it again.
Hey.
Hey, God bless you guys. Well, thank you for listening to the radio. And yes, Jeff, I meet so many people on the road all over America. And they talk about how they love the American Family Radio Network and AFA. And, well, thank you for listening. And God bless you guys. We're very appreciative that you would listen to this show.
Yeah.
And, hey, let me give that number again. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And, Jeff, like he said, Satan, he fires those darts. But in Christ, we are victorious and we are protected.
Yes.
In Jesus, aren't we?
We are, and as for me, Alex, I can tell if I ever go without reading the Word in the morning what the day will go like. I know. What those fiery darts are coming. So let's go now to Tennessee and welcome Michael to the program. Hi, Michael. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you calling or taking my call. But, I appreciate the sentiment on the Apostle Paul, and that he is such a great example for all of us. But he did something when he went back to Jerusalem when he got arrested that. It confused us, was going through a study of Acts there, and he's before James, and he's explaining all that's been done, and James tells him that, you know, they've got all these new Jewish believers, and they need Paul to become an example, and to come and take the Nazirite vow and purify himself and go into the temple, and then that's when he was arrested. And it's like, it's so contradictory to, you know, he believed faith alone. It was all it took. That was no keeping of the law necessary. And yet he goes back and he does this. And it's just, we never, during our Bible study, could never figure out why would he have done this Nazirite vow. I think it's Acts chapter 20. And having to take, and do sacrifices to supposedly purify himself. But when the ultimate sacrifice has already been made. So that was just our question. We never could figure out why he would have done that.
Great question.
Let me say this, this is in Acts 18:18. Paul had cut his hair, for he was under a vow. The Nazirite vow was that several things. And by the way, being from Nazareth and being a Nazarene is different than those that would take a Nazirite vow. That a Nazirite, and Samson was a Nazirite. Samson had taken a Nazirite vow that you wouldn't cut your hair, you wouldn't drink alcohol, and you wouldn't touch a dead body. And it was kind of an external, show of commitment to the Lord. A lot of people have written, why would Paul do something like this when the gospel is clearly of grace and not of any works? Do you remember when Paul said, I've become all things to all people, if by any means I might win some? Right. I'm going to say this, and Jeff, if I'm maybe cutting Paul too much slack, you tell me. There is a concept in missions called enculturation. And it doesn't mean that we participate in sin or something like that, but it's that we do the most that we can do to make the audience conducive to hearing the gospel. Now, over and over, Paul had told the Gentiles that they're not under the Jewish law, but two and maybe three times in the book of Acts, he takes a Nazirite vow in the presence of Gentiles who couldn't have even taken that vow. And all I can say is this, that Paul, I think, was trying to show solidarity, to get a hearing with some of the Jewish people. It doesn't mean that he was trying to reestablish the law. Right. It doesn't mean that he was attaching the law to the gospel. I think it was a somewhat harmless way to take this temporary, to go through the motions of a Nazirite vow. I mean, clearly, if anybody understood the gospel of grace, it was Paul. But I think he was trying to earn a hearing with his audience. What do you think?
I think that's exactly what came into my mind when Michael mentioned that. There's another instance in Acts chapter 21 when the brothers are appealing to Paul around verse 21, where there are some Jews who have been told that Paul was teaching other Jews to forsake Moses. And so, what I see in that, it could be that that there are some rumors going around as to what Paul is really teaching. And Paul was very, very clear that we are not saved by keeping the law. I mean, he writes mm-hmm. extensively on that. And so the scripture is not contradicting itself. But like you said, Alex, there's a clearing of the air into what Paul is really teaching. And I think he's simply removing the rubble out of the road so that his message gets through clearly. And
well said, brother.
Yeah.
Well said.
All right, let's go to Mississippi. And let's see, Dentian, is that your name?
Dentian? Yes.
Great. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Alec. I appreciate you guys so much. You're very much a blessing.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
My question is there going to be a literal economy in heaven?
A literal economy?
Economy. Okay. You know, lay your treasures up where moth and rust can't destroy. And I've never thought about it. Been a Christian a long time. I've never really thought about this subject, just kind of laid it off to something else. But, you know, we're instructed what we sow, we shall reap. And if we sow economy into heaven, is that our treasure? I mean, you know, during the 1,000-year reign, there's going to be people living and dying on the earth, and there will certainly be an economy there. Mm-hmm. Will there be one in heaven?
Let me say this. In Matthew 6, 19 through 24, where it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Moth and rust can destroy, thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I don't think there'll be any money needed in heaven. You know, the trees by the river, it says the leaves of the trees will be for the healing of the nations. It won't be an economy in the sense of you'll need money. But I do think that what it's talking about, treasures in heaven and rewards, gold, silver, right, precious stones, you know, I think that it's going to be, the Bible says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither is entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those that love him. Heaven is going to be perfect, but there are some people that are going to have more rewards in heaven, more crowns in heaven. But I'm going to say this, and Jeff, I'm going to throw it to you. In the book of Revelation, five times it says that we lay our crowns at Jesus' feet. So, let's say everything you've done post-salvation, God rewards you accordingly. But it's not going to be, oh, wow, look who's so wealthy with crowns. Jeff, I think that we're going to maybe quote Psalm 115, verse 1. "Not unto us, O Lord, give glory, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for the sake of the truth." The only reason you really want more and more riches in heaven is so that we'll have more honor and crowns and accolades to lay at the feet of Jesus and say, "Thank you, mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, glory to God." Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to do with our treasures, isn't it, Jeff?
I think you're spot on, Alex. Jesus is dealing with the issue of the heart. Where is your treasure? Or is it in money? Is it in possessions, material things? Or is it in the kingdom of God? Is it in me? And I think, you know, in the parable of the pearl of great price, when the man saw a pearl, he sold everything he had and wanted that one thing. And the Bible points to the Lord Jesus as being the treasure of heaven. I mean, he is the reward. And I think that's the bigger issue at hand in that passage. So I think you're right on.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We've got time for maybe a few more calls.
All right. Let's get Randy in from Louisiana. Hi, Randy. Welcome to Exploring the World.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. My question is Israel going to fall one more time before all heck breaks loose?
Okay.
I don't think so. I think that when Israel was reborn as a nation, May 14, 1948, and there it's a fascinating story. There's several decades of things that I believe God was putting into place. Actually, really, the regathering of the people to Israel and the nation of Israel being reborn really began in the 19th century. Of course, it became a nation in 1948. Jeff, I don't think they'll fall again before the full completion of all things, because the Bible, and if you read Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38 about the nations of the Arabian Peninsula will surround Jerusalem there in the end times, I personally, and I want to be clear, nobody knows the day or the hour, but I really think that the eschatology getting into high gear, bringing the world toward the return of Christ, began 76 years ago with the regathering of the nation of Israel.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, there is prophesied in Ezekiel war in Ezekiel 38, and in the subsequent war where there's a lot of loss of life in Israel. I think one third of the Jews are saved. There's a great tribulation coming. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. But in terms of the entire state of Israel falling, I'm not looking for that.
Let me give one more verse, folks. Amos 9:15. God says, I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I've given them. And I truly think that that applies to the current Israel. That now, Jews need to believe in Yeshua Mashiach, the Messiah, but I don't think Israel is going to fall and be dispersed again as they have been for the last 19 centuries.
Yeah. That's good. All right. If we have one more question, I think maybe Brent has got one.
Yes, I've got one from Facebook from Brad, and I actually have noticed this, a lot of people talking about this. He wants to know what your thoughts are on the new versions of the Bible. They have left out some verses, and it's making him wonder about them. He says, is that not taking away from the Word of God?
Mm. Great question. Jeff, do you mind if I kind of jump in on this
please
first?
Yeah,
you know, clearly we are not to add to the Bible nor diminish from the Bible. Now, let's remember that all translations, whether you go from the original documents to English or Spanish or Hindi or Bimba or Cantonese or whatever language, there's what's called the donor language and the recipient language. Now, the donor language is Hebrew and Greek, and a little bit of Aramaic, but you've got Genesis through Malachi, you've got Matthew through Revelation. In the recipient language, sometimes there's, just to render it, it might be a little bit less words, but it doesn't mean verses have been left out. Good, reputable English translations, the King James, New King James, New American Standard, NASB, NLT, there are a lot of good translations, and Jeff, perhaps we can elaborate on that more when we've got more time.
That's a big topic, and you answered it very well, but get a great translation. There are plenty of them out there. Yep.
Amen. Well, Jeff, thank you. Isn't this a blessing we get to do this every day?
I love it, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Folks, this is Exploring the Word. Tomorrow is going to be Fire Away Friday. There'll be questions tomorrow. On this Memorial Day weekend, pray for our nation. Be in church. Tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, if you would, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.